Hello, and welcome to episode 70 of Black Girl Squee. This is the podcast where we celebrate Black femme genius with a...
Squee!
I am Dee Dee, and I go by Dice Daughter on the social medias.
And I am Inda. I go by Inda's Corner on the Twitters.
And together we're at Black Girl Squee on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. You can also support the show by kicking a few dollars of that folded money to the our Patreon, which is patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. And you can also email the show at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com or rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And that link will be in the show notes. You can find all of our episodes of this show and other shows like Missives from the Underground, Ratchet Research, and Get Her in the Game, a Pitch Podcast, all on our hosting site, which is blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. Just to remind you, we spoil shit. Sometimes that's our spoil policy. Sorry, not sorry. It's just easier to talk about stuff with spoilers. I don't think we're spoiling anything today that I know of.
But, no, I don't think so.
But, you know, even if we do, we warned you up front.
Yes.
We also squee really loudly. That's all I'm going to say. We cuss a lot and talk about penis sometimes.
Yay.
Men are trash, but sometimes they're cute.
Yes, they are.
So, again, not sorry. Take your joy when you can. With that said, I will let my co-host start us off on our squeeworthy news.
All right. And this is exciting. This is from out.com, and their headline reads, Lena Bloom is the first trans woman of color to lead a Cannes film premiere. Oh my gosh, that is major.
Mm-hmm.
Lena Bloom, she stars in Port Authority, which is a love story set in New York's ballroom community. Oh my God, yes. She says of it, for me, this is really like that Halle Berry moment when she won that Oscar for Monsters Ball. I know that it's a moment that should have happened a long time ago. Yeah. When I first heard that we were premiering at Cannes, I really had to think about all the women that paved the way that should have also gone, all the women who could have been in a movie and could have played a role like this. This is a moment that so many people dream of, girl. Yeah. She also says, right now, it's this moment with world pride and everything that's happening everywhere else in pop culture. Like all these black women that are on television right now, it feels like the universe is saying, it's your turn, girl. And I feel like I got to do this for us, and that's what I'm doing. Way to go, Lena. And this, oh, wow. See, this is why sometimes I wish I could get to the Cannes Film Festival and see shit like this, because it takes forever to get back here before you see it. But, you know, congratulations to Lena. Congratulations to the film Port Authority. And I have really hopes for this film. Anything that's kind of retrieving that history of the ballroom scene, it's really important. It's really stuff that we should be paying attention to, because like everything that we're doing now, it kind of started there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so Lena Bloom to Port Authority. We have a big squee!
All right, we're finally getting some casting details about Barry Jenkins' Underground Railroad, and it involves black girls. Well, one black girl. Amazon's show Underground Railroad is based on Colson Whitehead's novel and will be led by Thuso Mbedu, who will play the lead role as Cora. Chase W. Dillon will play Homer, and Aaron Pierre will play Caesar. I haven't read the book, so I don't know who these characters are, but people that have will know. Buso Mbedu is a South African actress who received an International Emmy nomination for her previous work. She's a star in South Africa and has been on several TV shows there. Just to tell you about the novel, from the article, the novel chronicles Yencora's journey as she makes a desperate bid for freedom in the antebellum South. But I think in this novel, I've heard that the Underground Railroad is not just a metaphor. They actually make it a real railroad. So
it is actually a railroad.
Yeah, it's going to be very visually dynamic, it should be. So yeah. Very excited for Barry Jenkins' next project.
Absolutely.
So to Thuso Mbedu. We give a big
squeak! All right. So next up, we have some news from the literary world. Author Tomi Adeyemi reveals the cover for her second novel. And this will be the sequel to the hit novel, Children of Blood and Bone. And it's the second entry of the Legacy of Orisha trilogy, and it's going to be called Children of Virtue and Vengeance. If you have not seen this cover, it's pretty stunning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Blood and Bone was good, too. The Virtue and Vengeance, though, it's really striking.
Yes.
I'll let you look at it. From the article, it says that Adeyemi said it was important that the cover of the book depicted Black people and Black women, adding that it's no mistake that protagonist Zaylee's hair goes from straight on the cover of Children of Blood and Bone to 4C on the cover of Children of Virtue and Vengeance. And a tidbit I did not know, but I'm actually kind of excited about, the cover art was made by Sarah Jones. If you know Sarah Jones, she's an artist. That woman has been doing the damn thing for decades now. And so kind of seeing this collaboration is very exciting. Tomi Adeyemi says that her work was so Black, and it was so elegant, and it was so powerful, and it was so majestic, and that's everything I wanted for Zaylee. I mean, that's what we all want for our characters, right?
Yeah.
But bad news is the book isn't going to be released until December 3rd. So, yeah, right around the holiday time, if you know you want to plan, you know, what you want or what you want to get for your book geeks and stuff. So here's that. So to Tomi Adeyemi and her new book, we give a big
Lizzo got to interview Janelle Monáe about freedom, sexual fluidity, and living life out loud for Them's first cover story. Them is a publication for, I guess that centers queer people. Mm-hmm. And Monáe said that she knew the title of her third album, Dirty Computer, before the Arch Android even dropped. So she's thinking of these as like novels in a trilogy, or you know, of a series instead of just albums. But she says she also talked to a therapist about what it meant to identify as bisexual. And the quote from the article is where Monáe says, "I've seen people come out in their sexual identity in their 40s and 50s. Yet there's so much pressure on young people to choose an identity. When you're a teenager and your hormones are jumping off, it's like, choose an identity, choose a sexual orientation. It's like, how? When I like everything sometimes and I like nothing sometimes." Ooh, thank you for saying that, because that is a word. That is a word. Like, yeah, let people, you know, people are going to work on their own timetable. And I know other people get mad because they want, you know, they want people like Queen Latifah to, you know, just come out. And, you know, people want everybody that they think might be queer to come out in the way that they want them to come out. And I'm like,
yeah.
Did you even come out in the way that you want everybody else to come out? Like, everybody has their own process of figuring this out and how they want to do it and whether they want to do it, whether they feel safe coming out. Mm-hmm. So just, like, chill. Like, stop pressuring people to do stuff that, when, you know, when they're not ready. Anyway, me editorializing all up in the article. Monet has advice for people struggling about whether to come out or not. She says, quote, "Don't allow yourself to feel any pressure other than the pressure you put on you. And I think there's so much power in not labeling yourself. That said, there's also power in saying, this is how I identify, and having community with the folks you identify with. Everyone is on a journey of self-discovery, and those of us who may not understand others' journeys should be more empathetic and tolerant and supportive," end quote. Again, she preaching. Because, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people that kind of rolled their eyes when Monet came out as pansexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, there's people that like that word better than bisexual. There's people that feel the other way, or that prefer mm-hmm. the word bisexual instead of pansexual. And they're not the same thing, but the meanings of the words kind of overlap. And, you mm-hmm. know, some of the words have, you know, complicated histories behind them.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of there's a lot of biphobia that kind of reared its head when she came out as pansexual. And yeah, it kind of bugged me. So, you know, that's why there's power in just, you know, saying I'm queer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to know any more than that, you have to actually get to know me or be dating me. Like,
yep.
I mean, there comes a point where if I'm not fucking you, you don't need to know more than than the fact that I'm queer. You don't need to know which way, you know, you don't need to know any more than that. So, Monet hopes that the entertainment industry can get to a point where Black women who don't identify as straight can be normalized. And I hope we can get there too, but it's going to take a while. So, to Lizzo and to Janelle Monae, we're going to talk about Lizzo more later on. But to Miss Janelle Monae, we give a big
squeak!
And there's some great clips of Lizzo jumping in on Janelle Monae's performance at Coachella, and they were really cute together.
Yeah.
They were twerking together and stuff. That was fun. It was really cute. So,
it is.
Our next story.
All right. So you may have heard about, I hope you have this, some exciting news coming out of Africa. I think South Africa?
Zambia.
Yeah, South Africa. Zambia. Oh, wait, the studio. Never mind. Okay, so the Mama K's Team 4 is going to be Netflix's first animated series from Africa. And it's a series that follows 4 teenage girls, yay, living in a futuristic version of Lusaka, Zambia. And they're recruited by a retired secret agent to save the world. And it was created by a Zambian writer, Malinga Mulandema. Excuse me. And she says, in creating a superhero show set in Lusaka, I hope to introduce the world to 4 strong African girls who save the day in their own fun and crazy way. Sorry. But that's what she says. Most importantly, I want to illustrate that anyone from anywhere can be a hero. And if you see the picture of these, there are a variety within those four. There's a variety of them. Looks like, because they said they're teenagers, but it looks like one is a much younger teenager. The others, you know, they're taller. One's a big girl. One's a little masculine, you know. And they're just all so cute. They are all so cute. And the little one she's holding looks like a little cat in the picture. It's just the cutest thing. I usually kind of stay away a lot from stuff that focuses on teenagers these days for some reason, but I definitely want to give this one a shot because it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, they're so cute. So to Mama K's Team 4 and Malenga Mulindema, we give a big
Okay, I'm just gonna run through the next couple because they're quick. Lena Waithe is going to join Westworld Season 3 and give me a reason to watch beyond Thandi Newton. wow, Season 2 was a struggle. If Thandi Newton wasn't in there, ooh, that'd have been hard. But the nature of Lena's role is being kept secret until the season premiere, which won't be until 2020. So,
oh wow,
why are they even? I don't know why they're announcing it now, but I guess they want to generate excitement because the little dragon show is going off the air soon. So, to Lena Waithe. Get them checks, girl. She keeps getting shows picked up. I think she's got 3 shows that she's created. 2 have gotten picked up by BET, and of course she also created The Chi, which is going on its 2nd season at Cinemax. So get them checks, girl. To Lena Waithe, we give a big egg. And somebody else who'll be getting to the money, Miss Carter, Beyonce, just signed a $60 million deal with Netflix. The deal is for 3 projects from Beyonce, and the first of which is Homecoming, which is a behind-the-scenes documentary of her Coachella performance last year, and it just dropped Wednesday, April 17th. HBO also wanted the documentary since they already have a relationship with Beyonce and have already aired a few of her specials. For instance, Lemonade, they aired a live version of the On the Run tour, and another documentary called Life is But a Dream. The article says that Netflix had a better offer. So it's possible that the other 2 projects may be accompanied by new music because the film that dropped last Wednesday, Homecoming, came with a live album that's available on all streaming services and has a banging-ass cover up Before I Let Go. Just in time for the cookout and the family reunion of your choice, so... she know what she doing. She know what she doing. So to Beyonce, I'm gonna give a squeeze. Just wanted to put that
also,
there. Go ahead.
I just wanted to mention with her, she also, I think, recently left some money on the table. I forget which company it was, but a certain shoe company was trying to do a deal with her, but she walked away from it because there weren't enough people in the room there who looked like her.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I respect that.
I'm so here for this era where Beyonce don't give a motherfuck what a white person says. Like, she's at this level of her career, she does not give a fuck.
Yep.
She gonna do what she want to do, and what she want to do is be black as fuck.
And I respect the hell out of it. Right. I respect the hell out of that.
So, it's so good. It's so good. It's so good. This whole Coachella performance was black as fuck. This live album was black as fuck. It's so good. I love it. She's one of the biggest stars ever, and she does not give a fuck. She is like flipping the bird to the white gaze. And gaze, and by gaze, I mean G-A-Z-E.
Yes.
So.
Well, probably the others too, but I mean. Anyway.
We're not doing this.
But she don't give a fuck about white people.
She don't. And she's at the level of her career where she can get away with it, and it's beautiful.
Yep.
It's just like, mwah.
Yep.
I love it. So
yes.
I say that. So just wanted to talk about a musician to lead into our segment all about music called Inda's Corner.
All right. So this weekend indeed was a holy weekend for me, because we got some really good new music this weekend. The first we're going to talk about, Lizzo. She finally dropped her album, 'Cause I Love You. And this is after like a couple of, she did have a couple of albums before that and an EP.
Mm-hmm.
And but this is one, 'cause she's just kind of broken out in a big way over the past year. And if you didn't know, she was born Melissa Jefferson, and she's from Detroit. She said she resolved to make feel-good music because she needed to hear it herself. Aww. She says, I'm realizing very quickly that every single one of these people want that good energy Lizzo moment, and that's just not human. And so that she says her latest album is about the vulnerability that comes with fame and shifting relationships. And she says, I think this chapter is brave and way more vulnerable for me. And it's exciting to explore vulnerability because I'm known as being this braggadocious bitch, excuse me. And I'm still that, but I'm also exploring and showing a side of myself that people don't really want to see, get to see. So yeah, if you haven't listened to it, it's really good.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. And so, she's something else. Wait, this is so her. How does Lizzo relax? I get pussy.
Self care.
Okay.
You've heard of dick appointments now.
Hey.
This is the new appointment in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ladies.
Y'all better start getting on that.
Yes. This is the new way. Lizzo has shown us the way.
Let's see. What do we call it? The box something.
The box appointment. The tongue appointment.
It's a tongue commitment.
Yes.
A tongue lashing.
Oh. Oh God, we might need to move on.
Okay.
We've already earned the explicit tag that we get numbers.
Oh yeah. But yeah, listen to that album. It's a combination of like everything that she's been doing over the past few years anyway. I mean, that whole feel good, because she still has, you know, her self-love anthems. I mean, Soulmate is so good.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song. So, yeah, check it out if you haven't already for some reason. Okay. And also, another of my favorites is Kelsey Lu. She has finally released her debut album, and it's called Blood. She was born Kelsey Lu McJunkins in Charlotte, North Carolina. Her father, I did not know this, was a courtroom artist and also played percussion in a jazz funk band. Her mother was a nurse, is a nurse and played piano. Her sister was a violinist, and in case you didn't know, Kelsey Lu is a cellist. She's also kind of like some of my favorite art ho shit, because she, like, a lot of her videos come off as like performance art. And if you haven't been listening to her, she has a really nice mellow sound. She did a really good cover of I'm Not in Love, like the first track from the album Rebel. It's so good. I mean, that album is just so solid. It is so good. I didn't expect anything less from her on that. So if you have not listened to her yet, if you have not checked her out, it is time to listen to her, listen to it. This is called Blood. And after you listen to that, go back and listen to her EP, Church. That's all I'm going to say for that. Okay, and in our final trilogy of our holy music for the weekend, Angelique Kidjo released her new album, Celia. And as you may have guessed from the title, it is her musical tribute to Afro-Cuban legend Celia Cruz. And I love this because, let's face it, Angelique Kidjo is a legend herself, and she's paying homage to another legend. And so, yeah, she's from the West African country of Benin. And I was listening to her talk on Alt Latino, and she was saying how people love salsa over in Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, she said, you know, that's where the roots are.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think people put that together for some reason. So she said, and she said Celia Cruz was the first woman she ever saw leading a salsa band. She said, because you remember she was saying she made a bet with one of her friends, like, okay, when you go see her, you have to do my homework for 6 months if, you know, she's like just the background singer, you know, and just there. But I'll do yours for 6 months if she's the lead. And, yeah, she was the lead.
Hey!
So, yeah, this is her bringing the African roots of Cruz's music to the forefront, because still was black as hell.
Yes.
In case you didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay, so those are your assignments, because that's a good album, too. I listened to all three of these, because I was just so excited to have all this good music coming out this weekend. So now it is your turn. You know, after you finish listening to the show, go listen to all of this. I will quiz you. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, you might as well listen to it, because you're going to hear all of this where?
I'll play a lot of this on the Black Swan Collective, which I do on Mixcloud every other week. And you can find that at mixcloud.com/IndaLauren.
That's right. That's mixcloud.com/IndaLauren. IndaLauryn. So, it's like, I have to force you to plug your own shit. So, but yes, please, you know, if you want to be familiar with the kind of music that Inda plays, listen to these albums and then check her out on Mixcloud.
Yes.
And just get into it, because if you can't tell, you know, the new wave is black women musicians. Because
yes.
Look at all this mm-hmm. we're giving you. Mm-hmm. Look at this. This is brilliant stuff. So
yeah.
Now we move on to Catch the Fade. And this is going to take a minute, because I saw this on Twitter yesterday. I don't know. I just be dipping in and out of Twitter, so I just saw this yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Okay.
It was yesterday.
I got mad as hell.
Yes.
I'm biased. I am an alumna of Howard University. I still live in the D.C. area. These new people, I can't even say they're not Negroes. These new people coming in mm-hmm. and just fucking everything up, just being downright disrespectful.
Yeah.
So, for Howard students, the yard is a safe space. It's where students socialize. It's where they go to be seen in their best fits.
Mm-hmm.
It's where, you know, there's a party on the yard every year called Yard Fest. And, I mean, you have to cross the yard just to go to classes. If you go to a class in School of Fine Arts, if you go to Liberal Arts, if you need to go to the A building, administration, you have to cross the yard. If you want to go to Blackburn, you have to cross the yard. So, it's a space for Howard students. Lately, residents have been using the space to exercise, walk their dogs, or have picnics. Which is wild if you think about the origin of that specific word. And the fact that Howard is a historically black university campus. Over the past decade, the surrounding neighborhoods around Howard University, like Shaw, LeDroit Park, and Mount Pleasant, have gotten much whiter. According to census data, the black population in Shaw alone, which is where many of the dorms are located, especially many of the freshman dorms, just in Shaw, the black population fell from 78% in 1990 to 44% in 2010. And it's probably gotten even lower since then. That's just in the span of 10 years. Oh, no, that's 20 years. But still, that's scary fast. Some Howard students have reported that the people that walk their dogs on the yard don't pick up after them. So, which is, if that's not disrespect, I mean, that would be disrespect on somebody in somebody's apartment complex. But to go to a historically black college campus, let your pets poop on their yard, their social space, and not even pick up, it's blatant disrespect. Some neighbors, just to bring this whole gentrification shit all the way around, say if students don't like people dog walking on their yard, they should move the campus. The campus that has been there since 1867 should move because you've been here 5 years and want to walk your dog on the campus. Okay. Sorry. Fuck these people.
Yeah, basically.
I'm trying to think of words that aren't cuss words. It's not coming to me very quickly, so we'll probably need to move on, but this is not cool. The article that I read says that, you know, this frequently happens. This does happen on Georgetown campus, on American University's campus, and people don't feel a way about it, I guess. It doesn't happen on Gallaudet's campus. Gallaudet is a university in D.C. for deaf and hard of hearing students. You have to get special sort of dispensation or approval before you can bring you and your dog on campus if you're not a student. And there's also the thing with black people and dogs have a complicated history. Dogs have been weaponized against us, and to bring your stranger ass and your stranger dog onto a campus full of black people, albeit now there's far less black people than there were on Howard's campus than there were when I was going there, back in the Ice Age, but it's still a predominantly black campus meant to be a safe space for black people. And many of the non-black people, are either South Asian or, other things. They're not, It's not like a whole bunch of white people have come in. Like, I mean, there's some, but I don't think it's like half and half, black and white. It's not like that. There's a lot of non-black students from coming in from other cultures. So, and they show more respect than these people who have just who just moved to the area, and they don't realize they've moved a lot of the black people that used to live in this area out. And you know, and to be honest, even when I was going there, there was tension between Howard students and the black people in the neighborhoods, because, you know, I guess people didn't like all of the people, the black people, the young black people that were coming in from all over the country, all over the world, actually, to go to Howard, and probably felt like we were gentrifying in a way, displacing them. And you know, there's a little something to that that probably needs to be considered, but still, this is just really disrespectful. And white people, get your shit together. You don't have the right. I mean, I think it was a couple years ago where the white people came with the MAGA hats on Howard's campus. That's just some bold ass shit. Like, y'all can't. This college has been sitting here in the same space since 1867. For y'all to be acting brand new, talking about y'all should move the campus, or I should be able to wear whatever I want on Howard's campus. You don't even go there, but you have something to say. Meanwhile, black people that actually go to Yale, getting the cops called on them, just to make them feel like they don't belong. But if we were to call the cops on these neighbors, we would be wrong? Fuck that. Mm-hmm. Call the cops on all of they dog walking asses. Make sure they pick up they shit too. And get the fuck off the yard.
Yeah.
It's just, ooh. Ooh. Like, if you can't respect this place, you just came here and you think you should have a say in what and how and what goes on this campus. Ooh. I tell you, white people. I'm sorry. The opinions expressed on this podcast are I don't know where I'm going. I don't know. Indaloran doesn't co-sign my opinions. These are the opinions expressly of me, Dee Dee, Dust's daughter. Whatever.
I co-sign those. I co-sign those. You're not wrong.
Okay. Well, at me if you want. At me if you want about this stuff, so I can block you. But whatever. I don't give a fuck. These are my thoughts. No. I actually went there. I feel like I can say something about it. Whereas people who didn't, I don't know, whatever.
I'm so mad that dude actually said move the campus.
Move the fucking move your ass. Your ass hasn't been there since 1867, providing a service to black Americans and black people all over the world.
Yeah, that's why I think, this is why I like Black Gay Twitter, because they went and found his Instagram real quick. Found him being a whole asshole.
Oh, God. Oh,
they had a field day. Like, you brought it on yourself.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
You brought it on yourself.
Oh, boy. Anyway,
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could talk about, well, yeah, Catch the Fade has been long enough. There's some other stuff that can catch the fade.
Yeah. Oh, but
Your girl, the majority leader. Is she the majority leader? Your girl is wildin'.
I think she is. Yeah.
She's wildin'. She wanted everybody, all the women support when she was trying to get that position, but now she's hating on everybody and she she's a hater.
And she's being a damn coward.
Mm-hmm.
On
She's shitting on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's being a coward when it comes to Omar, Representative Omar, and wow, she's just what is it that Carnithia says? Solidarity is for white women.
It's for white women.
Cause she wanted all the solidarity when she was trying to get that majority leader position, and now what is she doing? And you were like, well, she should have it. She's the highest ranking. She, Auntie Maxine has just as much seniority. She put just as many years in. No, it should be Pelosi because she knows how to politic and she's got the power and all this. Anyway, whatever. What you got to say now? What do you have to say? I put the mic in your face. All right. So while I calm down, Inda, please tell me, who is our inductee into the Pantheon of Peen?
All right. So this week's inductee into the Pantheon of Peen, I really hope I say his name correctly, but his name is Sugath Varghese. And if that name does not sound familiar to you, you probably know his face if you watch Kim's Convenience. He plays Meta on the show, and it came back to Netflix a couple weeks ago and started watching it again and just was reminded of just how fucking fine this man is.
Okay, Thickums. Come on, Thickums.
Yes, that's a thick cat daddy right there. Brown man. I think with my last three choices, you notice I like the thick brown.
Brown
man.
And bearded.
Yes.
I ain't mad at you.
No, he is fun. Mm-hmm. He fun. Anyway, he has a very, very long resume. I mean, like damn near 100 acting credits. He is also a writer, which he has gotten many award nominations for. He is also a director. He has been on screen and stage. And, his birthday is in 5 days. He'll be 61.
Mm.
Like I said, cat daddy. But yeah, they didn't have like the exact date. They just had 58. And I'm like, okay, when is his birthday? It's April 25th. So that's Taurus, isn't it?
I guess. Ooh.
Yeah, Taurus. Okay. Yeah. Okay, but he was born in Cochrane, Kerala, India, into a Syrian Christian family, and he migrated to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, when he was a child because his neurosurgeon father got a professional appointment there. And said his family's native language is Malayalam. Oh, but he grew up in an Anglophone Western Canada, and he speaks English, you know, with a Canadian accent, so he's Canadian. Like I said, he's been in a lot of things. I'm tripping because I looked at, he's been on Suits. He played a judge on Suits, and I need to go back and might have been after I stopped watching the show because Jessica left. Anyway, but if you look at his IMDb, he has been on so many shows, and especially Canadians, but what I didn't know, he was also on The Strain for a few episodes. So if you were a fan of that, you might have seen him there. And he was on a lot of these shows that I was watching in Canada when I lived in Michigan. He's been on This is Wonderland, And he was in this episode. He was in a show called An American in Canada. I remember that show. And of course, like almost all Canadian actors, he's been on Degrassi. The Next Generation. He's been in an episode of Soul Food, and like I said, he's been in everything. And I just have to say, of course, in so many of these, of course, he's playing a doctor. He was an orphan. He's a doctor.
Wow.
Oh, like, oh, poor thing. But this is why he's writing his own shit, I guess.
Yeah. Something different shit.
Yeah, you know, just be a regular ass dude, you know. Just, I don't know, walking around in my house. But yeah, like I said, if you watch Kim's Convenience, that is just the handsomest older man you will just ever see in your life. And I mean, yeah, I had to pay tribute to them because, right. Yeah. So, to Sagith Varughese, please, I hope I said your name correctly. I am so sorry if I did not, but, you know, we love you. Just know that.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Pantheon.
Yes, indeed. Love for the thick ones over here. All right.
The cat daddies.
Yeah. Brown, bearded, and big.
Three B's.
So, before this goes way off the rails, like it already hasn't, but it could get way worse, trust us.
Yeah.
But before it does, what is vocab?
All right. So, today's woman is vocab term. It's food gentrification. Food gentrification refers to the act of turning everyday affordable foods such as quinoa and collard greens from marginalized cultures into trends for the wealthy. When this occurs, the marginalized communities that once made these food staples are unable to afford them. Furthermore, the mainstream divorces these foods from their roots, which often means white culinary, quote-unquote, experts have no reward for the marginalized communities. And I first heard this term used by Mickey Kendall, speaking of her again.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought about this because in some instances of white fuckery, this white lady opening a Chinese restaurant called Lucky Lee's talking about she's serving clean Chinese food.
Oh, Jesus.
And girl, I am giving you the, I didn't even remember her name, I don't care, but I'm just giving her really, 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 really big middle finger right now. And also, I've read recently, now they're trying to put grits and fondant too. So, like, everything that we, you know, grew up on, or most of us, a lot of us grew up on, you know, because we had to survive and we made it good,
mm-hmm.
They're trying to take now, and, you know, like, fuck them. I mean, and it's always these people, you know, with the so-called, like, healthy eating and stuff like that, and then they just make all this shit too expensive for the people who have been eating it, you know, unaffordable, and like, now we can't even get our own shit anymore.
Like, if I go to the grocery store and grits is, like, $10 for a canister of it, I'm about to go off. Like,
yeah.
I'm like at the edge of the Mason-Dixon line. Like, I mean, I guess, I mean, like, I doubt you can find grits up once you go above the DC metro area. Cause from the people that I know that are from New York, they don't have them there. I don't know if they're in Philly or not. But I mean, they're not easily available in Virginia. So Lord, if they fuck up grits and make them shits like ridiculously expensive. Yeah, I'm about to show my ass. I'm tired of this bullshit.
Yeah. And also that lady, I'm like, girl, do you even know that like food that in Chinese restaurants in the West over here in like the US and Canada and stuff, that's not food. That's not dishes that are made in China.
Right.
They make that shit special.
For white
here.
I mean for Americans.
Yeah.
You remember Shuri in Black Panther, I made it American style for you. They make the food American style
yes.
for us.
Exactly. And I do appreciate it because, man, them beef broccoli would be good.
I mean, it do be hitting, but I'm sure yeah. it's way spicier, way more flavor when they make
yeah.
it for their own people who
exactly.
can handle it.
Girl, listen, it's a Thai food restaurant down the street from me, and I was getting some beef noodles or something like that. The lady, she's like, here, let me give you some extra sauce. You know, she gave it to me like with that kind of look like, you can handle this,
mm-hmm.
you're not white.
But really, when they tone
yeah.
down the spice, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
but like,
because how many black, I mean, I'm sure there are some, Lord, I'm finally going to get emails from saying, I'm just saying that black people like their food with flavor. I mean, if I'm wrong, if I'm wrong at me, so I can block you once again, you know.
Listen, this is why I don't go to like places that are called like Asian fusion and shit like that. No. No.
They should just call it whitewash. Because that's
yeah,
what it is.
Basically.
That's really what it is. Whitewash with no flavor.
Bland. Just bland.
Just bring your own hot sauce.
Yep.
And your cayenne pepper.
Get your Larry's.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Obey, all of that. Whew. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Food gentrification.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. So... Thank you. Thank you, Inda.
Welcome.
And that is our show for today. Again, you can check us out on Twitter at Black Girl Squee, Tumblr at blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com, Apple Podcasts at Black Girl Squee, and Google Play Podcasts. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you'd like to support the show for the free. If you want to send us some folding money, you can go to patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. You can hit us up at Indus Corner, at DustDaughter, at BlackGirlSquee, and BlackGirlSquee@gmail.com. Of course, all of our episodes for all of our shows are up at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. So basically, you know, when in doubt, search for Black Girl Squee, BlackGirlSquee, and you'll find us. Hopefully.
Yes.
So, until next time.
Before
bye.
I let you go. Bye.